You are listening to the Gourmet Pens Club podcast. This is a collective of creators and callings that bring us together. Here are your hosts, Aziza and Candace.
Hello! Welcome to episode 37 of the Gourmet Pens Club podcast. I could not come up with anything clever and enticing to describe us that I haven't already said, or that doesn't make us sound insane. So, ignoring all that, this is a podcast about stationary stuffs. Stationary stuffs. And I am one of your hosts, Aziza, aka Gourmet Pens. Let's welcome my co-host.
Hello, I am the co-host. I am Candace, Inks and Anchors. And we're ready for the fun. So
let's hang out. Okay, so now what's happening? I am not hesitating, but Candace is still thinking I'm going to hesitate, but we're getting better.
I'm getting better. I realized last week you were just going to rush into it.
So I'm just going to go for it.
We did it.
I'm just going for it.
I think we're pretty good.
Okay, Candace, I know that I have one or two new acquisitions. So I think possibly.
I think you should go first.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is
You don't
so
always have a new acquisition.
It's so true, I don't always. But it seems that I go through phases where I don't need things because I'm so responsible and mature and fiscally.
Does this mean that I'm not responsible? Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
Hello.
I am responsible in that.
Okay, just move in terms on. You're of just never going to get yourself out of this.
Yeah, let's not. Let's okay. just. No, I'm just a very particular about what I'm purchasing now because I know what I want.
Excellent point.
Also, I'm very lazy and do not want to make the effort to sell things.
Yes, fair
so,
point. Well, you are being responsible by because you're not selling, you're not buying, I guess is what you're saying.
Yeah, but okay, it's really just good. Based on laziness. So okay. I don't know. So I have some accessories, which I think are were just cute. And I'll just share them because I really have wanted these for a long time. And they were out of stock for a long time. So finally, they were back in stock. I got some rickshaw koozies.
Yes.
And these are the Goulet pen exclusives that Drew designed. So it's Synthscape and like crazy 80s arcade. And I just wanted them. And
they're pretty.
Like they're just so cute and happy. And you can never have too many rickshaw koozies because there's always some reason that you could fill them, like by buying more pens. I don't know. And I like to use them in different denominations, in different pen sizes.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
different, yeah, like the two and the three. Because if I, for example, have three pelicans, I like them to be together.
Yes, because they're a family.
They're family.
That's right.
And it's just nice. It helps me mentally organize my very questionable life. So those are, that's one thing I got.
So you use them mostly for storage as opposed to portability?
Kind of. They are usually storage unless I have like the three pelicans inked. I'll just take them in the three pen case.
Right.
And so it's really just a form of justifying to myself. But
to
I'm okay with it. Like it's totally fine. And then I got Stationery Universe released a River City.
You got one?
I got one. So it's.
Oh,
I didn't
goodness.
Even know.
And you
even
didn't
knows.
Even tell me about this?
I didn't know I had to inform you.
Yes, you did.
So this was a collaboration with Stormwinds and River City and Stationery Universe. Mm-hmm. And Tori is so evil because she just posted them. And I was like, oh, this is so pretty. And I totally don't need it. But she was like, I can just show all of them to you and you can pick one. So do I need a nib holder?
Of course not.
Absolutely not. But I like to support other small makers and small businesses and other really cool women. And so also it's like green and like
it's really
seafoam green.
Yeah.
And like a powdery blue. There's a bit of purple in it. It's just really fun. And I have so many dip things like brass folded nibs, kakamori stuff. And so I figured, why not?
I think that's great. I was actually looking at it and was going to purchase it. By the time I got back to doing so, they were sold out.
In a way, you were saved.
I was saved, yes.
By time.
Yeah.
But don't worry, there'll be more things.
There'll be more things.
And you can always spend money.
Well, and then it got me thinking about you know, how I'm trying not to buy any more pens, or at least until I sell a pen. But then I haven't counted, like,
I thought we got rid of that rule.
Well, I still need to be under 99, right?
Totally. Yeah, that right? was the number, right?
That was 99. The number, 99, because you said we'd
any
remember
more,
it. Right.
Going to the three digits but would be very noticeable.
But I still don't want to, you know, use up my 99, my excess capacity uh-huh. right away. And so I am still trying to be policing myself somewhat. But if you buy a dip holder,
it totally does not count. Right? Not at all.
And so if there's a material that I see that I thought, oh, that looks really cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I just recently I saw, I think it was Rich from River City posted like a coral Oprex opal pen.
I saw that one.
I know, right? It was pretty.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, I cannot buy another Oprex opal pen because I don't really need it. However, I think I need a dip holder made out of that Oprex opal.
Candace, let me say this about that. Of course you don't need it, but who cares?
Who cares? Well,
you know, on my to-do list was catalog pens so that I could confess the actual number. And I was thinking about it, then I was like, I don't want to. So I
you
have
were thinking to yourself,
that.
I am the boss of me.
That's
and
correct.
I don't need to do
such a thing. Anything I don't want to do. And so I have decided, I don't care how many pens I have,
this
so
is the,
long
this is
as I'm enjoying them.
This is a great philosophy.
I just don't care anymore. And I kept coming up with rules, like ones that were gifts that are sentimental, things that I consider part of my pen collection, but I don't want to use because it's precious, like my hand-painted Ryan Krusak pen.
Under $100.
Yeah.
You don't use your Ryan Krusak pen?
But I don't use it as often as other things because right. I shove all my pens in together.
Right. Well, and that's so where your rickshaw case comes in. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true. And so I just decided, what a stupid concept that I have to limit myself to the number of pens I have when I am the boss of me. So I have no idea how many pens I really have, and no one's ever going to know either until I die and somebody has to catalog them.
This is a good policy. Maybe I'll subscribe to it.
Like, who cares?
Yeah, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. It's true. And every time I go to say, I say that I need to sell a pen, you say, but you don't really have to, right?
Like, so, why?
True. Well, I'm at that point where I think, okay, well, maybe I do need to sell a pen, and I go through all my pens and I think, nope, not that one, not that one, not that one. And then I just put everything away because I don't need to sell it.
Yeah. And why? And if you really, really want to because you're just unhappy with what you have or you're not enjoying something, that's fine. But that's it. I'm done. No counting.
No counting.
You'll never
okay.
know. I'll never know either. So on that note, what do you have?
What do I have? Okay. So on that note, I ended up getting a pen from Alan over at On a Whim Woodworks.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a really nice design. So this one is made from Stormwind's Blanks. And he has this style that I guess maybe other people have. But a while ago, he started putting ink windows in his pens.
Right.
Even though they're cartridge converted, they're not piston fillers. But using two materials, and the cap and the ink window are the same material. The section and the body are a different material. And I really like that model. I have a couple of them that are like that. So this one has a clear cap. It's called Borealis Beginnings from Stormwind's Blanks is the sparkly material. And then the body
once
is
once again
like,
with the incredibly
the names,
fascinating
I know.
Names.
And the body is a purple pinky red. It's called copper something. I can't remember what the name. I knew at some point I was going to reach my limit of material names for pens that I just cannot maintain. And so apparently today's the day because I don't really remember and I need to double check what the name is. So anyway, I saw it on his Instagram post. He had four pens for sale and I immediately said, yes, I definitely want that one because it's nice and swirly and, you know, it's really, I don't have a pen this color or the color combinations and I really, really like it.
Dear listener, I question
why
your statement.
What? That I don't have I do not. Do you know what this reminds me of? I don't know if you remember the hard candies. They're about, you know, oval shaped and they are
the sour chews.
They're not chews though. They're like a hard candy, but they are a bit sour, and they are this color, purple and dark red. Now I gotta go and look it up. But it reminds me of them.
I wish everybody could see the look on mine and she's face.
You know what? It might be a Jamaican thing. It might be a candy from my Ute.
Please. Actually, I'm very curious now. So please, if you can look it up, so we can report.
How am I going to find
back.
It? It's going to be like...
You got to go to Googs. And you go to the Googs and you describe in detail what you're looking for.
Oh my gosh. It's
but make sure you put like candy from... whatever, like it's from your youth. So
from
like the 90s.
A long time ago, right?
That's why I said the 90s. Yeah. So
from the 2000s.
From the 2000s. Because I'm very curious now.
I know, so am I. I've got to look it up. So anyway, it's Copper Eclipse. I looked up the name, Copper Eclipse.
Okay.
But what is also cool about this pen is that I also got a new nib. This is my new nib. So it's my new nib day as well.
Oh,
and
that's
it is
nifty.
A hand carved engraved nib by Hooligan Georgia, mm-hmm. Tim Cullen. And I'm amazed that they hand carve this, right? You've seen
that is very cool.
It is stunning. His work is amazing. And it's just when I see some of his hand carved clips and, you know, metal work on Instagram, it's just unbelievable. And he shows little reels and videos and I'm just blown away by it.
It's so neat I love seeing when people are doing the engravings, like how the metal curls off.
I know.
It's just really cool. It's almost like eye ASMR.
That's right. And it curls off in exactly where he wants it to curl off. This yeah. is like amazing to me.
It's such obedient pieces of metal.
Yeah. I'm very happy with it. And so I'm quite pleased that I have a couple of clear capped pens to show off the nib. And it's just really quite nice. It's a fine nib.
That's okay. I'll allow it.
You'll allow it. I'll probably get it tuned slash maybe ground into something.
Whetted.
Yeah. I've been really liking a needlepoint type nib, but wet. And so it's not quite needlepointy, but it's a very satisfying.
I feel like that's an oxymoron.
I know it is. I know it is. But I have this nib that I bought secondhand and it was ground by Kirk Spear mm-hmm. at Pen Realm. And it is an extra, extra, extra fine, but it writes beautifully and it's a wet nib. So you do get a really precise line, mm-hmm. but it's not necessarily extremely narrow, as you would expect an extra, extra, extra fine to be, but it's precise, but wet. I'm so having a hard time explaining this. But anyway, it's just a beautiful writer. And I'm thinking that I'm going to add that to my list of nibs to grind because it's such a special nib, but it's beautiful. It writes beautifully just the way it is right now.
But you want something particular. That's fair.
Yeah. I just thought, you know,
I mean,
I've
okay.
actually been focusing on more of my nibs because I've sort of veered away from the pens because I am quite enjoying, in all seriousness, I am enjoying the selection that I have and, you know, using what I have and not feeling bored, but having like a lot of choice.
Yeah.
And I'm actually now looking at some of the nibs that I have, and I'm probably going to go through and sell some that I haven't used in a while. And
you know, this again,
I don't have to.
No need to.
You're right. You're right. I don't have to. But just as I guess assessing all the nibs that I have.
That's fair,
right?
That's
and
fair.
Just kind of looking at it, and it's interesting for me to see. I do always sort of veer towards the same nibs all the time, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, mm-hmm. that's my new acquisitions.
Interesting, huh? Mm-hmm. I have not looked at all the nibs that I have. We're not going to talk about that either.
I saw.
It's irrelevant.
I know. I saw your nibs on one of
your
live
feeds. I mean, it's pretty
feeds,
reasonable.
And no, it's. It, I mean, sure, it's reasonable, but it's like everywhere.
It's chaos.
It's chaos. Like,
however, half of it is Yovo, half of it is Bach.
But it's
portions,
all together.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the problem is it's like I know where everything is because I know what they all are. But anybody else looking in would be like, this person is cuckoo bananas.
Okay, I question right. that you know where everything is.
I do. I know what okay. they all are.
You know the case that it might all be in.
No, but I know where the things are. Like, I know this is going to be Yovo in this corner, and one tray is going to be the unmodified Yovo. One is going to be gold Yovo. One's going to be flexies. And then one's going to be non-Yovo nibs that fit in Yovo collars, but are not Pilot, Sailor, etc. So
it's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive. I'm pretty much a genius.
Sure.
If we go based on what I'm saying to everybody. Excuse, sure, she says. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's
Moving
talk
on.
About something. Yeah,
let's
there is a topic We have kind of touched on this before in terms of discussing resources, but this is something that a listener brought to us. And the topic is, how do you navigate the pen world if you're new? And this is a huge topic. And I think about when I joined the pen world, I really joined, so to speak, when it was growing. So I kind of got in on time to go along for the ride and be there as things happened. So it's kind of like catching a wave just at the right time. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it would be cool for you and I to just talk about what we maybe experienced. And we're going to have to do this in multiple parts because it's going to be quite extensive, I think. But it's kind of exciting. So I don't know. Should I just throw you in the water?
You always do.
I do. It's part of the fun. That's why you keep coming back to me. So, I mean, if you had a friend who came to you and said, I'm looking for a cool pen for my daughter or something. They're going to school and, you know, they just want something nice. Like, how would you even start to guide someone? Like, what would you do?
That is a hard question. Because
I know it totally is.
Because also it was a different question, I thought, than what the listener had asked, because I had the impression mm-hmm. that the listener was somebody who likes pens. Mm-hmm. And maybe experience one or two fountain pens and mm-hmm. So is new to the pen world and wants to sort of is interested in learning more about the pens as opposed to
how to guide someone.
Well, a somewhat disinterested third party who just happens to be kind of parachuting into the pen world only to get a gift. And I did actually have somebody on Instagram ask me that very question. And I, to this day, don't know if I was being spammed or the person was actually asking a genuine
interest. Well, what was their profile picture? Was it all like...
It seems to be a genuine...
Okay. we don't have video.
It seemed to be a genuine question. But, you know, it was like, I'm buying a gift for a friend, a pen friend. What should I get or what should I be looking at? And I have no idea because I have no idea what pens your friend likes. And, you know, and then when I asked, what is your budget? True. And it was $1,500 to $2,000, which is why I thought it was being...
For a friend? They must really like that friend.
Right. And so
I don't even like myself that much.
I don't think I have any pens that much money. I have purchased pens that much money, but I don't think I own any more. Maybe one.
Maybe one. Okay, that is fair. That is actually a really good point. That is totally different to navigating the pen world if you are new. So how did you navigate when you started?
So when I started, initially YouTube was my friend, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
And just Le Google was my friend. And actually, that's how I ended up into, you know, Instagram ultimately is really the main sort of the mainstay of my hobby, because as you all know, the community is very large on Instagram, shockingly. Even with its bad algorithm, there are a lot of people that have Instagram accounts, and that's how I found out about new releases and what have you. But initially, I wasn't on Instagram, and it was Googling a lot of YouTube videos on mm-hmm. Intro to Pen World. And it was, you know, honestly, Brian Goulet mm-hmm. and his initial videos. What does he call them again?
The 101 series?
Yeah, that's right. The 101 series. This was
fantastic.
A long time ago. Mm-hmm. But he had been doing them for a while when I started looking at the videos. And those videos taught me so much. And I was interested and I just kept searching for more mm-hmm. Reviewers on YouTube for pens that I eventually wanted to find out more about. And should I buy mm-hmm. it, not buy it? You know, looking at reviews, yours included. I think those are the main two that helped me navigate mm-hmm. the pen world.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because Instagram is a really good resource because there are a lot of folks who are not willing or not able to do YouTube videos, but have a lot of experience and knowledge and are able to share it quite succinctly on Instagram. If only Instagram would stop making changes. But still, you still are able to find people to follow and see, like, receive suggestions because Instagram likes to suggest things. I would say if you're on Instagram and trying to find the right, like, the accounts that would interest you, go to somebody you already follow and kind of check out who they're following. Because often you can find a lot of things that would probably interest you. Okay, that is cool. and totally different to what I experienced, because I joined, like I said, like when the pen world was blooming, like when Brad at the Pen Addict, like the OG stationery blog, was like the only one. So amazing. For me, I got my upbringing, so to speak, on blogs, which is like JetPens had blog posts, yep, and they still do, yep, really great blog posts. The Pen Addict blog posts, and it was, I believe that was like basically it. And the Well-Appointed Desk, who's been around for a while, has been producing fantastic content. And at the time, the Goulet blog was called Ink Nouveau.
Yes. Yes, so, that's it. Right. I did read that. Yep.
Like that was all there was. And it is actually so wild because it's changed so much.
Was Fountain Pen Network up and running at that point in time?
It was. At that time, I was not cool enough to know forums. Right. So I kind of found them like 5 years into my journey.
Right.
I think forums are a tremendous resource, but I prefer a platform like Instagram because I find it easier to access information.
Yes.
Somehow. And I'm also more visual. So I like to just see something. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I barely read captions. So, which is also why I barely write captions. I still think blogs are a good resource because now blog posts tend to link to videos or embed videos, yes, or be able to link to resources and other guides. So I still think it is good, but it's not as attractive to the 5 second attention span that is happening to everybody, basically. I think TikTok is also supposed to be useful, but I think TikTok is more of enjoying something you already like, yeah, like pens, because not learning necessarily about,
right,
them.
Right.
But I don't know because I'm old and don't know how to use TikTok.
And I'm not on TikTok either. Is there a lot of pen content on TikTok? Really?
There's a lot of kind of guides, which are good. So they're basically YouTube shorts on TikTok.
I see.
With more fun stickers and filters. But I hate stuff like that because I find it distracting.
Right.
So I actually just prefer an Instagram post that is a picture with no doohickeys and bells and whistles. I don't want to see a reel. I don't want to see anything else. I just want a photo so I can see it, study it, and know what I want. But that's just me and how I consume content.
Well, and of course we are in later years, podcasts.
Right? Oh, I mean, maybe that's what we're doing, I guess. Yeah,
maybe not even later years, but for me anyway, I don't really listen to that many podcasts, but really the only podcasts I do listen to are pen related or stationery related.
And interesting.
I do like it because now that I walk my dogs and, you know, mm-hmm, on the commute, that's what I listen to, our podcasts. I do sometimes listen to YouTube videos and just not watch the video.
Right.
Which is maybe sacrilegious.
No, but I think that's all right.
Yeah. So I just sometimes listen to that as well. But
like, I'm sure people want to hear something that I might have to say about a pen, but they don't want to see my face. I'm just kidding. Well, no, but really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it could be convenient to do that.
I learn a lot about, you know, stuff from the podcasts, and mm-hmm, and I hope people are getting that as well from us, mm-hmm, or maybe not, or at least be intrigued by something enough to follow, you know,
pique your interest about something.
Yeah, and then go and do some research, which is what I've always done whenever I've heard, you know.
That's one of the most useful recommendations I could give to somebody who is trying to learn. When you are consuming content of any type, do your own research as well.
Yes.
Right. Like, take the information and verify or question it. Be curious about it. And I think a lot of the time people will look at like one video review or read one review and kind of make an assessment. But I would say absolutely do not do that.
No.
Like, find the people whose content kind of feels good to you. Maybe they have other pens that appeal to you. So you kind of know that what they are presenting is already possibly in line with what you like or the criticisms you might have. And I think that's why when someone does come to me and say, you know, I'm thinking about starting a YouTube video for pen reviews, but, you know, everybody does it. You know, I don't want to just saturate the market. And no, the more voices that are assessing or sharing something, I think the better, because it's just more like more avenues for folks to learn. So
yeah, well, each person is different. Yeah, each person is different, and they approach it differently, and they have a different think of something else to say, right? They
exactly
they like something like that someone else might.
Small hands, big hands. Some people don't see color in the same way. Some people are sensitive to like the threads or the grips or anything. Some people think ebonite smells like butt. you know, it can be anything. Some people like to sniff their pens. There's just so many options, and I think the more people contributing, the better. And also it helps hold companies accountable, I believe.
Yes.
If we call them out for garbage. And that's a little scary to do, but I try in a classy way.
I would agree that that's what you do. In terms of navigating as well, if you can go to a pen meet.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to do. I understand that because you may live in a place where there are no other people. And of course, you know, you want to be careful and you don't want to, you know, get into a situation where you're meeting strangers or what have you. But
And then they're opening their trench coats and they're showing you all their pens and they're like, I got what you need.
I know. Yeah. Which is
that
another
pens.
Reason why
pens.
Yes. Which is another reason why being on a platform like Instagram or, you know, another social media platform that you can be a part of and sort of get to know the people and the personalities and then have some kind of comfort level with them.
And so not that, be catfished by a pen person.
Right. And so that when you end up
pen-fished?
With pen-fished?
Nib-fished?
When you end up with a, you know, a meeting invitation to go to a pen meet, you can sort of feel comfortable that it's legit and you are going to a pen meet and enjoying pens and not something else. And in fact, that's how you and I met because I think I said that in our first episode, but I had been on Instagram for not very long, like a few months. And but I had seen your videos, seen your reviews, what have you. And coincidentally, you happened to move near to my hometown and ended up organizing, thank God, a pen
meet. Like 5 minutes down the street.
I know, that's right. So ended up organizing a pen meet, which is something that I had only attended. Actually, up until that point, I probably hadn't attended a pen meet. I didn't know about the big Toronto one at the time. And long story short was I forced myself to go there. That's another thing, right? A lot of pen people are introverts.
It's intimidating. Yeah.
They are introverts and they're intimidated by new people and some somewhat uncomfortable situations. I just forced myself to go because I was so excited to meet people in person that were excited about pens.
Right.
Because everyone else
it's
I knew
like,
thought
I
was
make
insane.
Contact. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a really good point because it is intimidating. And I've told you in the past that I think it's very admirable that you went out and did that because it's scary. Even if you're not introverted, it can be intimidating to go into, like you walk into a place and there's like 20 people sitting around a table.
And you know nobody.
You know
nobody.
Nobody
knows your name. It's just
but
like,
all you know is these weirdos like pens as much as I do.
That's right.
And I like to think, in my experience, for the most part, I would say 95% of the pen meets or anything I have attended, someone has been very welcoming at the very least.
Yeah.
But you also have to
you
go
have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to to not just sit there and expect to be.
Yeah, because sometimes people might think if you're actually not interacting with someone, you might not want to be interacting.
Right.
Like maybe you want to be
absorbing
just
the information.
Chill time, which is also fine. And I've done that before at pen meets where I put my hood up because I need to like recharge a bit because I'm like, okay, too much people.
Yep.
And I'll just like do my stuff, put my hood on. And I would assume that people will look at me and think, that's a bitch. Are we allowed to say that? Or she just busy for a bit. And then when I felt like, okay, I'm good again, take my hood off and I'm back in the world. And I'm not somebody who has social anxiety. So for me, doing something like that is not very difficult. But if you do see a posting for a pen meet like on Instagram and you're interested, you can always just chime in and say, hey, I'd love to come. I'm shy. Please come greet me.
Right.
You know, something like that. Invite people to come interact with you because especially the environment of interactions have changed significantly, I think, since COVID and people forgetting how to be human in social settings, just because that's what happens. Sometimes people don't know if others are okay with someone approaching them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, show me your pen. Maybe don't be a creep like that or something. I wouldn't do that. But bring something that identifies you as a pen person, you know, like hold out your rickshaw koozies, wrap your face in rickshaws. I think I need to do that.
The other thing is some people just bring a friend, even if the friend is not a pen friend, like is into pens.
I'm so sorry for them, but
to feel comfortable that at least you're going to have somebody to talk to. And
absolutely.
And then you just, it's just that comfort.
And then once you, once you're blanket, comfortable, right? you can abandon them and be like, hey, you're free. Or, you know,
convert them.
Treat them to a pen.
Yeah, that's right.
I'd be like, okay, you're committed. We're pen married, pen wife.
Yeah, it is. Have you been cheating on me, Aziz? Is that what you're
doing? I am in a pen, a pen
monogamous,
polygamy.
Polygamy.
I was trying to say pen and polygamy. Relationship.
I thought you were trying to say pen and monogamous.
I guess not.
The opposite of.
Oh dear, I don't know if that's appropriate.
No. Anyway.
That is a good idea.
But,
bring a friend.
But to me, the pen meets, I think, were the best experience, I think, that I had. Mm-hmm. Because even if you don't connect with everyone, because you're not. I mean, it's, you know, people are people. You're not always going to connect with everyone in the sense of get along, you know,
but
swimmingly. But you have something in common, and people will, and it's always interesting to see other people's pens, try them out, you know, talk to them about how they got into the hobby. I always learn something from everyone.
It is so cool.
Yeah.
And getting to try other people's pens is so fun. And
hearing their perspective on different things, right?
And sometimes people have hilarious stories about like how they got a pen or, you know, hilarious stories about things that happen at pen meets, like when somebody dumps a bottle of ink all over a white granite table.
And the stain is still there to this day.
The stain is still there. And, you know, how everybody else, like there's a mom sitting next to us and she's like, oh, don't worry. And like whips out like baby wipes, sanitizer. And we're like sopping up the ink. When something like that happens, you're instantly bonded with your pen people.
That's right.
Even if you don't, if you never really interacted before, it's, this is just something that can't happen on Instagram. So for pen meets, you can find them on Instagram, like people talking about it on Instagram. There's a lot of Facebook groups about pens. You can just search in the Facebook search bar, like pen enthusiasts, and often you'll get a whole bunch of suggestions, especially when there's a mutual friend in a group. The forums, FP Geeks Forum, FPN, Eventbrite, like even those things have not necessarily pen meets, but there might be like an art class or a calligraphy class that you could just sign up for and go take. There are so many options and almost no excuse to not find something if you are interested in something.
If you have a brick and mortar store, a pen and mortar store, a brick and mortar store.
If you're that lucky to have a brick and mortar store, definitely. Or even just reach out to them.
Yeah.
If you don't have one super close, send them an email and just say, is there a pen club? Often there are pen clubs. There's like the DC Metro Crew, the Big Apple Pen Club, Vancouver Pen Club. The Philippines Pen Club is like colossal. Everyone is just really, if you like pens, you're just, for the most part, you're an instant friend.
Yeah. Everyone always says pen friends are the best. And my theory is that, of course, you're going to get a few people that are not the greatest because we're human, right? But I have a theory that you're just so happy to connect to somebody who also knows and
your
loves pens.
Your standard is so low at this point.
It is true because... because you have all your family that looks at you like, I like pens. And like, it's just...
Yeah, and then they're like, you spent $40 on a pen? And I'm like, you
add a zero.
Yeah, exactly.
Add a zero and multiply it by 1.4.
Yeah, it's just like, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just so... nice to actually find your people, right? Find your tribe that you tend to just are welcoming and you just want to share. And
they get it.
For the most part. Yeah. I just find that that's been my experience with pen people.
Yeah. I think it's really something that you have to kind of reach out a little. Mm-hmm. And most of the time they'll reach back, you know, it's, and that's scary, but it is something you have to do. I don't even remember like my first pen meets. So it's just that they were so long ago because, and I'm old. and they were so unofficial compared to what we have now,
right,
which is way better.
Yeah.
Usually I remember things better, but not this. She says as if she remembers things, but it's also pen meets are an outstanding way to learn. And same with pen shows, but of course, pen meets are typically easier to access. Candace,
yes,
speaking of learning things, I think this is a beautiful segue into our
Babble Bomb.
Actually, Candace, this Babble Bomb was inspired by one of your recent pens.
Moi?
Your Estee de Paul, the one with the aquamarine color and the purple.
And the little pattern.
The pattern. Can you spell the pattern? Because this is our word.
It's G-U-I-L-L-O-C-H-E.
Lovely. And I actually learned something about this as well.
Yes, it was very interesting.
Let's have our peeps. These are your peeps. Your peeps.
My peeps.
Your peeps. Let's have your peeps pronounce this word. And then we will hear the correct pronunciation and we'll have a quick discussion about it.
So what I need you to do is just, how would you pronounce that word?
Thank you.
Gilachi?
Gilachi?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Beautiful. I actually asked my friend, who is French, if she could pronounce this for us.
Hello, this is Hélène, at Fun With Pens on Instagram and resident French pronunciation specialist for the Gourmet Pens Club podcast. Today's Babble Bomb is guilloché, which is a type of decorative engraving. A guilloché pen features interlacing lines and curves that are traditionally cut out of the material and result in a repeating pattern in relief. Guilloché in French also refers to the pattern itself. Guilloche is the instrument one uses to produce the engraving, but in English it is often used to refer to the pattern as well. Guilloché is a technique that is used, of course, to decorate pens, but also jewelry or watches.
She gave a little explanation of what this is and also taught me that there are two different things, because we talked about this when you were talking about your pen.
Yes.
And we were like, is it guilloche or is it guilloché? And we just didn't know.
No, turns out it's both. I was absolutely 100% sure that it was guilloche.
Yeah.
And as we had just described, I looked at other people's reviews on the pen. Actually, I did it after I purchased it, but whatever. you should be looking at it before you purchase it. But I was curious to see what other people thought. And a couple of reviewers said, well, look at this guilloché. And I went, guilloché? Oh my gosh, he didn't even know how to pronounce the word.
That's so funny.
Of course it's guilloché. And of course I was like superior about this whole thing because, you know, I took high school French, right? I took high school French. So there is no accenté guilloché on the E. So it's got to be guilloché and not guilloché.
Right.
And then lo and behold, Hélène has proved me wrong.
Right. And it's like I am suitably shamed.
Very much so.
Right? So
the pattern is called guilloché.
Yes.
And then the actual thing the what you're doing is the guilloché.
Like what you're the creation of it, I guess. Yeah. So
we apparently very still didn't learn.
I didn't learn it still.
This is my point. I thought I knew because, you know, there was no accent and no ER in the end.
It's a French word and an English sentence, and that's what throws us off. So at least we're trying.
Yes.
Beautiful. Now we have more questions than answers about guilloché. But that was cool to learn. Okay, Candace, I'm going to just tell you some news because you're the only other person in the room that others can hear. In the shop, we have Birmingham Pen Company ink samples, and I selected a whole bunch of colors, and they are very cool.
Oh.
Do not look.
I was just going to say, I'm going to go look.
Don't look. First of all, the names are very cool.
Oh.
And I have done a ink swatch of one. So just one. And it was Tesla Coil because I was making a sample for somebody. in their order.
And it is so cool. It is so cool. So don't look, because you will want them all.
Well, now I'm going to make a list.
Now you're going to go look.
Yeah.
Hitting the shop very, very soon is Pilot. Oh. So I have a whole bunch of Pilot goodies. I love Pilot. It is stuff like the G2s, but also some of the cuter fountain pens like the Kakuno and accessories. And then coming up, we have, not we, I'm just saying in general, the pen world has the Baltimore Pen Show at the beginning of March. And other than that, that's it.
That's it. That's all the news.
That's it.
That's exciting.
Okay. Stay ink sane. Stay incredible and stay inky. I am Aziza, Gourmet Pen, signing off.
And I am Candace, aka Inks and Anchors. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was sponsored by Gourmet Pen Shop. Need some tools for slinging ink? Samples to explore? Hop on over to gourmetpenshop.com and consider supporting us by picking up some cool new stuff. And if you like what you hear, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listen, the French woman told me this. I'm not arguing with that.
The act of creating the guilloche pattern is called guilloche. We don't know. Je ne sais pas. You ER it. To guilloche. To guilloche.
Okay, I see what you mean. The guilloche with the accent is the participe passé. So the present would be je guilloche. Passé simple.
So does guilloche have an accent on
je
the end?
Je guilloche. Je guilloche. That's only if it's the act of. No, the passé is que nous ayons guilloche. So it can be done. It is done in the correct format, but the problem is we're using a French word in English sentences without the correct things, subjects and tenses to get it right. So, as usual, we English people are butchering a beautiful thing. So, I say that as an English person. I will ask her. No, I think it's very interesting for the giant nerds who are amongst us, but just us, really, because no one can hear you.
And also, nobody wants to hear this.